Knowing all those chemical elements, we die. Knowing spirit, we live. Yes, there may be a gap in the ozone, but there's no gap in the spirit, which is the substance, which is the reality, the invisible reality of what we call the ozone. So we're getting back to original substance. What would happen if you had a sprained ligament or a blood clot? And you were handling it spiritually. You'd go to spirit. You'd rest in the presence and the power of spirit. And when the sprained ligament was no longer sprained, when the clot was no longer clotted, when the valves were working, you would not know how spirit handled the matter. You would simply know that suddenly something was released. We can't put spirit under a microscope. We can't analyze it. But we know perfection is the nature of spirit. And as we cannot analyze how spirit removes the sprained ligament or the blood clot, but it does, so we discover that we do not know how spirit releases a gap in the ozone. But it's just like those snakes in the tree. Try to get rid of them, doesn't work. Try to get rid of the gap in the ozone, doesn't work. Because in your mind, there are snakes. And the only way to get rid of those snakes is to get rid of that mind. Because the snakes aren't there. You've got a gap in the ozone, and the only way you're going to get rid of it is not to eliminate the contamination of the world. Get rid of that mind. That mind has a gap in the ozone. And that mind is reporting to its satellite mind, its father, the father of lies, the world mind. The mind which created the illusion of a world. That's why it was so important for us to see, accept, and to know that the creation of spirit is not this world. But is the creation of a world mind, which Jesus called the father of lies, who was a murderer from the start. And he said that right to a nation which believed in that father of lies as God. That's pretty strong medicine. And then he said to those same people, you and the Roman Empire have in mind to get rid of me. Well, do it. Easter Sunday will come along and I'll be here still. And he did. And he was. He didn't get rid of the gap in the ozone. He didn't get rid of death. He simply proved that he was life. And life does not die. Life never dies. What dies is the imitation of life, which we call mortality. Mortal man, material man. The mirage of life goes through a mirage of death and then reappears as another mirage of life, and we call it another lifespan, a reincarnation. And we go through many of these mirages. Transition is coming out of the mirage of life. When the ozone gap not in the world mind, and some brilliant scientists take credit for it, we will know that in some way, spirit has removed the mirage of an ozone gap in the world mind. And we can play a part in that removal. We're doing it now. We're starting. We're standing in the knowledge that spirit is without division. Throughout the infinite universe, there is one undivided spirit. God is that spirit. God is without division. Infinity without division is the nature of God. God needs no power to remove evil. There is no evil in the infinity of God. And beside God, there is no other. If God individualizes as you, and you, and you, and me, and him, and her, and we stand in our divinity as a living individualization of that divine self, we cannot witness the falsity of a gap in God. We stand in silent realization of the undivided oneness of God without exception and without opposite. And we wait for the one divine mind will confirm what we are feeling in our heart. And when you feel that inner confirmation, it is done. The mirage is over. So we must wait upon the Lord. If only one individual in this entire room receives the word, that is enough. That puts the seal on it. That's the click Joel spoke of. This would come under the nature of world work. It takes many forms. You can do it wherever you are. You don't need a class of 200 or 250 or two or more in my name or even one. Your own soul is infinite. And the realization that you reach in the privacy of your soul and encircle a globe Each of us has this power, because each of us is the infinite power of God individualized. I hope you discover the truth of this, that you are the infinite power of God individualized. Then you'll realize how important every individual is. Every individual is the individualization of that infinite power. Not a speck of it, not a fraction of it, the wholeness of it. That's the glory of infinity. You can't divide it. If it's infinite there, over here, the same infinity is. Infinite infinity. Unthinkable to a human mind. But how could there be less God over there than over here? If God is infinite, isn't all of God here? And all of God there? And isn't that unthinkable to a human mind? Well, all of God's power is wherever God is. Because when you touch God's power here, you're touching the infinite power. After all, you plug in a little electrical outlet, but you're reaching the source. You reach the source every time you touch God, and your divine mind is the only way you reach the source. When you touch God, you touch life, infinite life, eternal life. So when you find your divine mind and get this human imitation out of the way, and are capable of touching infinite life, how do you die? Do you have that capacity? No way. You can't die if you want to. When you touch infinite life, you have eliminated any possibility of death or the illusion of death. And there is a place where this is stabilized, this ability to live in your divine mind. And at that place where it's stabilized, you're making a transition from mortality to immortality. From illusion to reality, from earth to heaven, without going anywhere. When Job made that transition to the Word made flesh, he didn't remain very long. You couldn't stay in the illusion once you had attained the reality. Unless for some reason you had some work that had to be done. And so the world doesn't seem to be aware that there are two kinds of death. The mystical death, when you attain your reality, and the concept of death known to man. Jesus had no reason to reappear except to let his disciples know what had happened. But reappear he did. There was no reason for Lazarus to reappear other than to let us know what had happened. You won't be coming back to the illusion either. but you won't be alone. Somehow, when transition is made, you're aware of it, and your appearance of form is still planted on the earth. Joel could even talk about it, having made his inner transition, so that others knew what had happened. And this is the way Spirit teaches us, so we're not in the dark, so we're not guessing. One day you will know, I am now in another body. I look the same to the world, but I am in another body. And the reason you will know that is because every time you are letting the mind of God in you live itself, you are making a contribution to your substance bank. You are opening up more and more of your consciousness to the presence of soul substance. So even though you're working for a purpose to get rid of the appearance of a gap in the ozone, there's a more subtle purpose involved. As you're working for that purpose, you are translating to a minor degree a little more of your true substance and eliminating a little of your untrue substance. Each day, you're dying to the false, coming alive to the real by this process. Till one day, you know, I'm now in another body. I'm now in my body of soul. Oh, you'll want to talk about it, maybe, to a couple of people close to you. That's about all. And if it happens on this go-around, it will be because you're working at it. Because you have made up your mind at this point that any day that I'm not living in my Christ mind is a wasted day. Just another day in the illusion. Along the way, you're going to feel. That time is not quite what it seemed to be. You're going to see it as a surface, just a surface, like a thin layer of skin covering up what's underneath. And you're going to see why time is here and why it's not really here. But of course, as soon as you're in your Christ mind, you're not responding to time anymore. God somehow doesn't get pushed around by the happenings in time. In time, you can die here and be born there. But there's no time to do that in reality. There's no time to get sick here and get well here or die here. There's no time for the disease to mature. Everything happens all at once, and only reality happens. Can you imagine living in eternity where everything is now, without time? And now is always now. It's going to be an adjustment. But it takes away false ambition, false planning, hoping to achieve something in time that you've already achieved in the now. You don't grow in the now. You don't become 4'2" and 4'3" and 4'4". There's nothing to grow. Everything is. But the isness is ever new because it's infinite. And as you live in your infinity, you're in the constant newness of life. There is a new kind of faculty developing. I think you should know more about it. When you are aware that your mind is making images, your human mind, and these images come forth as things, matter, and that mind animates this matter and makes it appear real, then you realize that these images sort of control the mind that creates them. The mind, not realizing it's creating images, then is persuaded and influenced by the images it's created. And so we live in this round robin, like a squirrel, in a cage. Paul said we eat our vomit. A horrible phrase. That's what he was talking about. He was saying that we create images and then we let the images run us that we have created, not even knowing that they're internal and not external. Now the new faculty, you saw it in John's revelation. And that's why the revelation wasn't understood. The new faculty automatically makes images too. But these images do not come from the mind. What you see in John's revelation are soul images. And you will find that you, in your soul kingdom, will live by the soul images that are created there. They will in turn indoctrinate you for still higher ascension. But we are building soul faculties which will make soul images. And they won't be made out of the substance of this world. I think you'll find it quite fascinating because they're instantaneous, just like mind images are. With one difference, they're non-destructive. And the soul images come from higher source with a higher purpose, because you're ready for a higher purpose then. Now you'll begin to see some of these soul images in this world, because you're going to be living in your soul here more often and more deeply than you have been. And you'll say, what is this I'm looking at inside myself? Nobody else seems to see it. This individual who appears to me, why doesn't he appear outside? Why don't other people see him? These incredible harmonies that appear to me. These sounds that nobody else seems to hear. These are from your soul faculties. And you're at a higher level of teaching then. and you'll hear the inaudible. You'll see the invisible. It'll be just as real to you from your soul as it is to people who see things from their mind level now. And I think your training probably has already started in that direction, so that many of you know that there's an inner training going on which has to do with a different kind of an image. That may be the bread of spirit instead of the bread of this world. The interesting thing about that inner bread is that it came forth into this world as loaves and fishes out of nowhere. Do you see what happens is the Spirit of God translates into invisible form. That's the bridge between spirit and the inner form that then appears as the loaves and fishes in the outer form. And that is how spirit provides all needs. This line of communication is so magical. It says, "My grace is thy sufficiency in all things." And it's the grace of the divine mind which has the power to produce from its own substance, which your soul then converts into these images, which then expresses outwardly through your mind as that which you needed. The chain of command is complete because you're in your divine mind. That's the mind of God. And so out of nowhere, yet out of infinity, comes that which is needed from the far ends of the earth. Because the divine mind is omniscient. It knoweth your needs. And before you ask, I shall answer. When you've experienced the miracle of the omniscient mind through its own omnipotence, producing a need before you ever dreamed of it, you realize why the grace of the Spirit of God is your sufficiency in all things. What can hide from that mind in reality? What power does it lack? It is the creator of all that exists in reality. And it constantly brings into its creation new appearances from that infinite substance. And these new appearances come forth as your wine, your bread, your hidden manna. Are we living in a miracle universe? Those of us who live outside the miracle are missing the joy of life. And the way you turn it away is to sink into a personal will, a personal sense of self, human attachments which deny the divinity of individuals you're attached to. Somehow that seems obsolete, and yet many of us are living in that obsolescence. Now then, let's rest in the glory of being one with the divine life of God and knowing that that life, through the divine mind in me, is flowing as my life. Though I know it not with my human mind, see it not, feel it not, touch it not, I have the word of the Father that the life of God is flowing as my life. And I have also the word of the Father that when I realize that the mind of God is my mind, I will feel and know that the life of God is my life. We want to come to some degree of understanding about this truth of our being. I am the life of God now. Not tomorrow, now. I was this life of God even before human birth. I was this life before time. I was this life before there was an illusion called the world. I was this life for as long as there has been a God. I have been the life of God. But it means nothing unless I know it. I will be the life of God forever. It matters not what form I appear in. The form will not be me. My identity is the life of God. I assure you, as you learn to accept this, and then learn to trust it, you will learn to be it. There are many subtleties in some of the things that were said by the Christ. And when you put them together, you come up with some astounding thoughts. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, and then the paradox. My kingdom is not of this world. How can I give you the kingdom in this world if my kingdom is not of this world? And how can you receive the kingdom in this world if it is not of this world? But nevertheless, the Christ says, it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Even though he has already said, my kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, what is he really saying when you put them together? It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom that is not of this world. And how are you going to get it? You've got to leave the illusion of this world. And who's going to give it to you? I? Who is I? Is that a third party or a second party? Or is I yourself? The I that you are says, it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom that is not of this world. The handwriting is very clear. You must make your transition out of this world into the kingdom, out of the mirage into the reality. But my kingdom is not from hence. A third paradox. It's not of this world, but it's not from hence. Where do you go? Nowhere. You walk through the mirage knowing the reality is here. Always, the moment you change minds, the paradoxes are clear. There is no paradox. The moment you change from the natural mind, which receiveth not the things of God, to the Christ mind, which is the mind of God in you, everything that I have promised happens. And then you remember the other phrase, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. When you change minds and are in the kingdom, all things are added unto you. Does it take centuries, millennia? Or does it take the fraction of a second of realization to step out of the world into the kingdom, into all things? It's a question of which mind you're in. One is omniscient, and one exterminates every civilization. As all civilizations before us have gone, so will this. All civilizations are exterminated by the natural mind, which receiveth not. It's like not receiving air to breathe, not receiving spiritual awareness, which is life itself. The civilization that lives without oneness with spirit must be exterminated. It's not a question of will it or won't it. It can't live on an imitation life forever. It can't maintain its own mirages. We're sitting in the middle of nothing. Until we say to the mind in us, all right, you promised me the kingdom. You said it was not of this world. I'm not accepting this world. I'm not living in the dream of dying matter, dying flesh, dying life. I'm living in the permanence of divine spirit, consciously. Now, where are all those things? Well, before you've asked, I shall answer. You are all those things. Whatever you need, you are. Your omniscient mind produces whatever you need instantly, before you even think about it. It doesn't produce physical things for self-gratification. It produces what you need. And it decides what you need. And it decides when you need it. And in what quantity you need it. We have one mind running the universe, not 5 billion. So we all join God's universe as the Son of God living in God mind. We have hidden manna. Let's make that our fourth principle. Let's run through them and see if we know them. The Spirit is everywhere, omnipresent. The power of the Spirit, is everywhere, omnipresent. The perfection of the Spirit is everywhere, omnipresent. And the perfect mind of God is everywhere, omnipresent, as my mind. When I drop the concepts of the senses and accept the one infinite mind, which is too pure to behold iniquity, in which there is no darkness at all, then I do not turn on the power. It is on. It flows automatically. All of these four qualities are automatically mine, and that is how Spirit gives you all things. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all things will be added to you. What is outside of the power of God, the presence of God, Spirit, the perfection of God, and the all-knowing mind of God? What is outside of that? Nothing. All things. These are the four principles of being in the kingdom of God. And you, in order to receive of them, must give up your sense of life, your sense of mind, your sense of, I can think this thing through by myself, I can do this thing with my personal ingenuity, my personal power, laying down your life to receive your life. It's all there for us. Now, we started with a triple I yesterday. We have a quadruple I. But it leads to something. These are the steps for transition. And as you practice them, you find that you are purifying, you're weeding out human thought. And this purification eliminates those deterrents which prevent the ascension. And so the steps to transition are quite simple. What it requires is someone to give attention to them. Someone who says, well, I've just learned how to drive a car, but I don't think I'm going to do it this week or next week. I'll wait a month or two and I'll keep busy on something else. You want to learn how to drive that car, you're going to have to learn it all over again. If you don't put these into practice, you're not taking the steps to transition. If you put it into practice, it isn't long before you're synchronizing these units. You're not just into one or the other, but you're intermeshing. And the power comes from this intermeshing. Then you find everything is at your fingertips. Infinity is right where you are. Eternity is right now. Everything is right here. There's as much here as there is anywhere in the universe. Because omnipresence is here, omnipotence is here, omniscience is here. Oh, I forgot something. I start to say, what did I forget? It's not working. Oh, yes, I'm still in a form. How can you be in a form and expect these infinite qualities to be working in that form?